How grateful we can be for all this time of instruction, of teaching, of being introduced into God's Word. The main thing is and remains that people experience the grace of God. And how are they to hear unless they are told? How are they to believe unless it is proclaimed to them? And so, we have the faith that God will help and still save some. I just read a few verses here in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 3 and in chapter 4. We have already heard from chapter 8. That's how it was, that the Lord Jesus opened the heart, the understanding, the eyes, the ears, everything of his own, to understand what he was saying to them. And I believe that we can claim that for ourselves. God has given us grace. We have not only heard parables, we have heard the sum of the parables. We have heard the whole thing that God has put into the parables. We have heard it by grace, and by this we are to know that we have found grace before many. Here, in Luke chapter 3, it speaks of the Lord's Prayer. Here it says from verse 21, Luke chapter 3, from verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. My main concern here was these words, that he prayed and that the heavens were opened. A prayer that opens the heavens. A praying that opens the heavens. We can sometimes be so quick to say, the heavens are open, and the Lord might have said that too. He had come down after all, and there must have been an opening somewhere. But here, when he prayed, it says, then the heavens opened. When we come together in prayer and bring our requests to the Lord, and as it says here, that the people were baptized, they had received and accepted what was proclaimed to them through the prophet John. They walked in the light as far as it was illuminated and given to them at that time. And when the Lord prayed, the heavens opened. Today we are to pray that the heavens will open. Today we are to raise our voices to God. Today we are to be under an open heaven. And it says here, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. It was not only that the heavens opened, but something came down from heaven. Something happened. Something became visible. Something became audible. Yes, you could see it, you could grasp it, you could experience it. When we pray like this, that the heavens open, then something must come down from heaven. We must hear something, see something, experience something. We cannot simply say that heaven is open and nothing has happened. We can't. If we believe that our prayers go up to heaven and reach the throne of God, then it means that from heaven comes the answer as surely as our prayers have reached the throne of God. We know in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, there is the word where it says, "The word that goes out from me, saith God, not that goes forth from man, but the word that goes forth from me will not return to me void, but will accomplish that for which it was sent." It is basically a circulation. The word goes out from the throne, reaches our hearts, works faith in us, and our prayers go up with that word as an answer from us to God, that His word has found a resonance in us, a response, and God in turn answers when heaven is open. And if we look at these three incidents here, Jesus prayed, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended, and the voice of God was heard. These are the consequences of a prayer that arrives in heaven, that reaches the throne of God. And we must expect that God answers prayers. We must expect anew that when we pray, heaven opens up and the Holy Spirit descends. Jesus Christ was only the firstborn among many brethren. It began with Him, but it did not end. It began with Him, but it did not end with Him. We will experience the end of all things with Him by grace. He as the firstborn among many brethren, as God He did not need to pray, as the Son of Man He prayed, and His prayer ascended to the throne of God. The heavens opened, and the answer came down from heaven. The Holy Spirit descended on the one who prayed, on the one who was baptized, on the one who prayed, the Holy Spirit descended. It was said to John, "On whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, he it is that shall baptize with Spirit and fire." As already noted, He is the firstborn among many brethren. The Spirit descended on Him after He was baptized. He said, "So it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness." And this He did. The answer came from heaven. The Holy Spirit descended, and the voice rang out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We are given the promise, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Jesus didn't just get baptized and then go His way. He prayed, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit came down, and the voice rang out. This is the divine order for our life as well. When we have received the Word, consecrated our lives to God, been baptized, that we do not just go on, but pray. And it would be best not to leave the place where we were baptized until we have prayed, until heaven can open, as it is written here. It would certainly have been in the mind of the people. Here is a need, and this must be done. Here the master is called, and so on. But he stayed there and prayed, and the heavens opened. May there be many tasks. If we were to be baptized, then we should pray and trust God, and this in faith, in total confidence that God still answers today. And while we pray, heaven opens. And when the heavens open, it's not just so that it happens without an effect. When the heavens open, there will always be an answer from God. Heaven cannot open without a response from God. And we see, here the answer came. The Holy Spirit came down. May God give us grace this evening to have this example before us, to pray in the place where we have experienced God so many times, to pray in a way that heaven can open, to pray so that the Holy Spirit can settle, to pray so that the voice of God can be heard. Not just to pray and then go away, but to pray that a divine answer might be given to that prayer. We then read a word here that has also become a blessing to me. We have spoken so much about grace, and it is grace that we hear God's word. It is grace that we can believe. It is grace that our hearts have been opened. Grace that we understand His word as far as it has been given to us. In Luke chapter 4 from verse 19 we read of the Lord Himself. Perhaps we should read from verse 18 already. Here He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We have just read in chapter 3 that He prayed for the heavens to be opened, for the Holy Spirit to descend. That's what we read. Now He testifies and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. Maybe up to here. We see the context here. Here the word grace is in two connections. Once, the acceptable year of the Lord. And this acceptable year of the Lord does not only have 365 days. It is from the first coming of the Lord to His second coming. The whole time of grace is the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year of release, the year of return to ownership, the year of restitution, the year of grace in all things, the acceptable year. In the Old Testament, when a year of Jubilee was proclaimed, something was going on among the people. There was joy among them. The slave was free. The debtor was free of his debt. They could return home. The one who had pledged his assets could return and say, "I am here. This is mine from today." The acceptable year was a year of Jubilee, a year in which people were especially addressed who had been struggling during a certain time, who were in need, who were in debt, who for some reason, in some way, were not able to cope with their lives. And the year of Jubilee brought them grace. It brought them the good news. They may have counted again and again, and then it came closer and closer, and until 7 times 7 were full, and the 50th year came, then something was going on among all the people. Some went to the east, others to the west. Everyone went back to their homeland, to their property, to their possessions. Grace had been proclaimed to them because the time of tribulation was over for him. He returned. That's how it was in Israel. The Lord must have had this thought in mind when He spoke of the acceptable year. Not just an acceptable day, it was an acceptable year, and the people could go home. And so it is now. Not a year of grace of the people. It says here, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is a wonderful thing. We are not proclaiming a year of grace of Moses or of Paul, the acceptable year of the Lord, a return, a deliverance, a restitution, a blessing for those beaten by life, for those who fall short, for those in debt, the acceptable year of the Lord. For this, the Holy Spirit had come. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives." You see what's all about? People who were in debt, who were enslaved, to them deliverance was to be brought. We were such people. We were in need of the acceptable year of the Lord, not a year of grace of a man. He could be mistaken. He could proclaim grace today, judgment tomorrow. But the Lord proclaims grace, the acceptable year, a year of release, of visitation, of return, of restitution, of blessing, all along the line. This is how it should be with the people who would consecrate their lives to the Lord, who would come to believe in Him. And I mean, when the Spirit of God comes upon us as individuals or upon the whole church, it is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to announce something that brings help to the people. Everyone knew that when the year of Jubilee had come and this announcement was made, no one owed anything to the other. Nothing at all. Everyone was free to go out. One could have said to the other, "Listen, don't make things so easy for yourself. Work here. You are in debt." He might have said, "You can look at me from the back. My time has come. I am leaving. My hour has struck. It is the year of Jubilee. Don't stop me. My day, my hour, my year. What I have been waiting for, it has come. Let me go in peace. I want to thank my God and take possession of what is mine." Praise and thanks be to our God. Our Savior could say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It was not a man who proclaimed it, but he who brought the grace himself. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:17 probably. And this one who represented grace, who brought it in person, who revealed it, he had full right to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. For he had brought grace, not only proclaimed deliverance, but brought it. One can proclaim a thing without bringing it, and then it is words. Announced, it was long enough. And then came the one in whom all who were ordained to believe had placed their hope. He of the tribe of Jesse. This man in whom the nations placed their hope and kingdoms that waited for him, as expressed by the prophets. Now he was here. He not only announced, he brought. He had all that was announced with him in his own person. Grace, salvation, healing, deliverance, blessing, restitution, life, eternal life. He had it all with him in person. So, not only an announcement, but the thing itself was now before mankind. The Savior, not the announcement of the Savior himself, not just the hope of eternal life itself, not only the talk of forgiveness, but the one who forgives stood before them. Everything was done for them. And he could say, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. May God grant us grace. When the Holy Spirit rests upon us as individuals or as a church, we have the same divine commission to fulfill and to pass on this divine message in the same words, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If it were my year of grace, yes, then may God help me. But it is the acceptable year of the Lord, not of a man. A man can be gracious today and not tomorrow. But God is quite different. God is a gracious and a merciful God to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then we read, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness. Yes, and we bear him witness tonight. We bear him witness and say, Lord, we accept your offer of grace, the proclamation, the realization of the acceptable year of the Lord. And we thank you for it. People who agree with the Lord receive what he gives them. The inner consent of our heart is necessary to receive what the Lord has just proclaimed. These people did not just hear something. For them, as Jews, it was a very clear thing what a year of Jubilee means. No one needed more information about it. They knew what a year of Jubilee meant for them. Release, going home, taking their own possessions. They knew what was involved for them. And obviously, those who heard these words in the presence of Jesus understood inwardly what it was all about. And it says here, all agreed with him. That's what we want tonight too. We want to agree with him. We want to say, Lord, that is the way it is. That is the way it is right. The acceptable year of the Lord. Not a year of wrath. The prophet Isaiah also spoke of judgment. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. But the time of judgment was not there, only the hour of grace. And therefore, judgment he had left out for a later time, namely when the time of grace is over, then judgment will come. Grace on those who agree with the Lord. Judgment on those who have rejected him, who have not heard his voice, who have not believed his word. Judgment will then come upon them. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words, even words of grace. You read about the authority. People were affected by the authority in which he spoke. Now here it speaks of grace. They wondered at the gracious words. It did not remain with the words. It was an act of grace. We have been pardoned by Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary. If the words of grace were already so wonderful for those who listened, what should grace itself be for those who hear the Lord, who agree with him, and who experience the grace of God? Are we such people tonight who inwardly agree with him? Who simply say, yes, Lord, that's a thing. This is how you have done it with us. We rejoice in it. What have people been able to do on their own? They had to wait until the year of Jubilee comes. They could stand on their heads. The calendar would not have gone faster, and neither would the clock. But when that year came, there was great joy among all the people. Not in all the world, only among the people of Israel, because the law applied to them, and grace also applied to them. So both are with those who have God's word in their midst. The same people who received the law received grace and justification, and then salvation passed on to all nations. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was not only baptized, he prayed. Heaven opened up, an answer from above, as confirmation of what happened here on earth. A connection between the one who stood here and between the throne of God. A connection. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended. The voice was heard. Something had happened. Heaven is open. Jesus said then, from now on, you will see greater things. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. What was it? By His grace, heaven is open. Not your prayers, not mine, not you, not me. Someone else opened the heavens. Someone else gave the access. Someone else revealed the grace in our lives. We were all gone. We were all without hope and without God in this world. But He came into His own. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not only pray, but pray that the heavens open. Not only that the heavens open, that the Holy Spirit descends. Not only that the Holy Spirit descends, but that the voice of God is heard. Where heaven is open, where prayers are heard, where the Holy Spirit descends, something must happen. There's no other way. God is not a dead idea. God is a living God. In the Old Testament, it even says of God's heart, probably in Genesis 6 somewhere, that God was deeply grieved in His heart, and it repented Him that He had created man. God is not a wind. God is a being. God is a person. God is there. We know it. He has eyes. He has ears. He has hands. God is there. And we need to come into personal relationship with this God. When God revealed Himself on earth, it wasn't a cloud floating around. It was a man. It was a person. It was someone you could talk to and someone who could answer, who could help, who could forgive, who could heal. It was everything in Him, and God was manifested in the flesh. And if we can see it all like that and believe it and agree with the Lord and say, O Lord, You prayed after Your baptism. As a man He prayed, not as God, as a man. But the Scripture says that He became like us in everything, in order to be a faithful high priest, in order to be able to intercede for us. He was found in fashion as a man. He prayed. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended. God's answer came. And then He went out and could say, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. And what was He aiming for? What was in His heart? What was in His mind? What was in His word and deeds? Nothing else but to deliver, to help, to save, to heal, to forgive, to do good, wherever He went. The people heard Him gladly. They were overwhelmed. And it says here, And all bear Him witness, and wondered at the gracious words. What a privilege to be in the presence of the Savior like that. And I mean, even though He is not visible in the flesh, He is present. And He says to us tonight, I am the same one who speaks to you. The same words that I said then, I say to you today. It only depends on our attitude, whether we can agree with Him, the word all, and all bear him witness. That was the unanimity. And where there is unanimity, God can bless. I tell you, if anyone sits in the meeting and thinks to himself, huh, he didn't say that right now, and that wasn't quite right. It would be better if we left the chair for someone else. We have to come back to the unity of the Spirit, to get back an inner agreement with the Word of God. It depends on our attitude. We can sit in the service under the sound of the Word, and it all becomes a curse to us, because we are not inwardly tuned to say yes to the Lord, to receive the Word as He would have it. I don't know if the people understood everything back then, but I know one thing. What the Lord says here is true forever. The Spirit had come. God's answer was given. He rested on Him. He could pass on the answer. The answer was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And all those who have experienced this acceptable year of the Lord, who have recognized it, have not only heard the announcement, they have come into the possession of salvation, into that which God had promised them from of old, that in Jesus Christ our Lord should be revealed. And all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words. We heard it in the word of introduction. The sower is the Son of Man. He went forth. He sowed the Word of God. Blessed are we all who have the worries of life and the adversities, everything that stands in our way, the thorns, everything that is around us. If we could punch through it and find a way with God, that nothing could stop us on the right or on the left, and that we would like to have inwardly our consent, a full yes to God, so that He could bless us, so that He could use us, so that not only the announcement of the acceptable year, but the manifestation of the acceptable year could be revealed. Jesus did not go around telling the sick, listen, I proclaim healing to you. He brought them healing. He did not say to the sinners, listen, if you are good, forgiveness will come. He was the forgiveness. He brought the forgiveness. He has not made salvation a possibility. He was the salvation. He was the light. He was all in all. And as surely as the Spirit of God rested upon Him, so surely did the same Holy Spirit come upon all who heard His address. And the Holy Spirit brought about consent in those who heard the word spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the same must happen again. The same Holy Spirit that was on Moses, was on the 70, came upon the people. The same Spirit that was on Christ came on the church. There's only one Holy Spirit. And when we have the grace to realize what the Lord has done, what grace He has shown us, then we should thank God. And not just try, but really pray and look up to heaven in the expectation that heaven will open up and that the answer will come down on us, that the Holy Spirit will come down, not just stay over us, but rest on us. In the one scripture it says, and remaining on Him, that may have been visible. But here it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If he only comes over us, then also soon he can remain resting upon us, sitting down, as it says in the Pentecost report, and set upon each of them. But we have heard that often enough. The Holy Spirit is so gentle. Especially in that one sermon of Brother Branham, he says, "Oh, if there is also any other nature in us than the nature of the Lamb, then the Holy Spirit, symbolized by a dove, will not be able to sit down. It will not get along. But if we have the nature of Jesus, the nature of the Lamb in us, and the Holy Spirit comes down, what is to happen? Then the same thing must happen. I am not letting go of it. That was the beginning, but not the end. That was the pattern. Here we were shown what should happen and what will happen. And everywhere where there were people who had been in possession of the Holy Spirit, and we have often said this too, it is not enough that we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must have us. He must remain resting on us. And then something will make itself felt. People are led into what God has prepared for them. People will be set free. They will receive forgiveness, healing, and everything. If we can inwardly agree and say, "Yes, Lord, I take this word from your mouth tonight and thank you for it," and believe it or not, I didn't know anything at all about what we have been looking at here tonight. Just as much as you, that much I knew before. I'm grateful to God for His precious and holy word. With fear and trembling we come here and wish that everyone else would speak. And I meant that sincerely, because I didn't know what to say. But I'm grateful to God for His precious and holy word. May we have found grace before Him today and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and thank the Lord for having pardoned us. May we inwardly agree with Him. And I think we have sometimes wondered at the words of grace, how often the Lord has spoken to us. He did not come here to scourge us or somehow inflict tribulation on us. That has been long enough. He came to help, to heal, to deliver, to bring us back to our original state. Oh, that we could measure the grace of God even more, that we could understand even more deeply what it means to be pardoned by God, to know the way of God, to understand His word, to see His promises fulfilled. All this is grace. Jesus Christ, our Lord, could say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," or "rests upon me," because He has anointed me. And then He says, "To preach the gospel to the poor." The gospel is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You can say hallelujah to that. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Acquittal. Redemption. All is settled. No one owes anything. The debt is paid. The sin is forgiven. Glorious Golgotha. Glorious Golgotha. We can sing this in honor of Jesus. He is my glory, only He, as the song goes. When we see Golgotha, the place of our deliverance, the place of our redemption, the precious blood before us, then we know what happened. Not just words, a divine act as a result of all the words. And this divine deed stands there. The enemy could have interpreted the words, but not the deed. He cannot interpret the deed. The deed is there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary. And as surely as he died, so surely have we passed from death into life. Oh, that we could pray tonight, so that heaven would open. Can you believe that heaven opens up when believers pray? It cannot be otherwise. Let us all place ourselves under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. There is only one means that gives us access to the throne of God, and that is the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing else. It will do us no good, and nothing will help us. But the blood of the Lamb, it is written in Hebrews, that is the new, the living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That is the new, the living way. May God bless these words of grace on us. May we inwardly agree and say, O Lord, we have responded to your call. In those days many were baptized, so we read. But when the one to whom the promise was made came, it did not stop at baptism. May many be baptized. But when the promised one came, it was something else. When he came, who was ordained before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God, baptism was not the end. He became still, he prayed, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came. I say to you, let many be baptized. But when those are baptized who were chosen before the foundation of the world to inherit salvation, then it will not remain with the baptism in water. Then there will be prayer. And then heaven must be opened. And then the Holy Spirit must descend. And then the voice of God is heard. And then we can go forward, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. As surely as he was the firstborn, we are the firstborn, born of the same Spirit. We are sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What an indescribable grace! Oh, that we could inwardly agree and say, Lord, many were baptized, and they all went away. They all went. That's how we read it. Many were baptized. Here it says, now when all the people were baptized, not only some, all the people were baptized. But when the one who was baptized, to whom the promise was made, things were different. He stopped. He didn't go any further. He stopped. He prayed. The heavens opened. The answer of God was there. The Holy Spirit came down. Brothers and sisters, may many be baptized. For my sake, all the people and all the churches, but they also go again. There is one church, that is the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, the church of just men made perfect. This church will not simply leave. We abide in the presence of God. We pray and we wait for heaven to open up, and for the Holy Spirit to come down, and for us to get the divine answer. And then we have an answer with which we can go uphill and downhill for the rest of our lives, no matter what. Then we can sing and say, as he leads, I will follow. All the people were baptized, but when he came, of whom the prophets had spoken, who brought salvation, something happened, and all to whom he brought salvation will have the same experience. Not only the one who brings salvation, those who receive salvation will have the same experience. There's no way around that. We can read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, He who anointed us is Jesus Christ, and so on. Firmly established together with you, we could read many things. Not only Jesus Christ has been anointed, the firstborn, the church of the living God, has been anointed with the same Holy Spirit. Oh, may God give grace tonight that we could agree with Him, inwardly agree and say, Oh Lord, that's right. All the people were baptized. They all went. But one stayed, looked up, the heavens opened, the Spirit came down, and the answer of God was there. Let's be part of that group that remains standing in the presence of God, praying and believing that the heavens will open and that the Holy Spirit will come down. Amen.